I really do believe it's true to say the capitalist system is in a crisis. I will bring you to Middle East and North Africa, how the results are being seen there. We experienced the crisis of capitalist system in form of wars and demographic changes, exploitation of all the natural resources without any law. The hegemonial power or the global powers are using Turkey mainly for destruction of any kind of alternative, particularly the alternative which are led by the Kurds. So the war between the Kurds and Turkey is not just a war between Turkey and the Kurds. Since Turkey became member of the NATO, it's become a very important strategic alliance to the Western powers for their policy of divide and rule in Middle East, because Turkey is the only Muslim state in the NATO. And since the majority of the people of Middle East are Muslims, Turkey is needed for the NATO's strategy to make another wave of changes in Middle East. The first changes happened by the European capitalism after the First World War, where then afterwards four nation states and nearly 22 nation states has been built for the Arabs. And then four nation states founded on the land of the Kurds, Turkey, Iran, Iraq, and Syria. So that's why we see the Kurdish problem, not just the problem between Kurds, Turks, Kurds, Arabs, and Kurds and Persians. We do believe it's a result of capitalist strategy towards Middle East. So the Kurdish question is a result of the capitalist strategy of expansionism. I can talk a lot about the results which we are facing. So what Turkey is doing, giving some examples. So you would ask why, for example, the Kurdish people see that Abdullah Öcalan was abducted 22 years ago, and why he is still in solitary confinement in the last 22 years, arrested under regime of arbitrary. Or why Turkey is allowed to arrest thousands of Kurdish politicians, MPs, mayors, co-mayors in Turkey, or why Turkey is allowed to use chemical weapons in the last 6 months against the Kurdish freedom fighters in northern part of Iraq. So all this has something to do that Turkey is needed today to destroy, prevent improvement of a new alternative model to the crisis of the capitalism in Kurdistan, particularly. Right at the beginning, in the 90s, when after the fall of the real socialism, the Kurdish movement led by PKK and its founders, Abdullah Öcalan, there was re-questioning the reasons of the collapse of alternative strategy, which was at that time the socialist bloc. And he came then back, said, well, it wouldn't be enough just to be anti-capitalist. So the Soviet Union was clearly anti-capitalist, but doesn't mean that they will have been against capitalist modernity. So this is the key point of the changes 30 years started in the Kurdish movement, saying we won't keep us busy with the results of capitalism. As I have explained how it is working in Kurdistan and to Cavite in India, it is more important to fight the thoughts and the mentality of capitalist modernity, which is based on paradigm of power accumulation, monopolization of power, which is controlled by the nation states. This nation state is the most dangerous instrument to societies, which bring them under the control of the ideas and thoughts of capitalist modernity. So Öcalan said, well, if we want freedom, it means we have to start by our own, looking in the social structures where accumulation and monopolization of power is hidden. Who created the hierarchical structures in the societies? So in the end, the societies have been constructed according to the benefits of the nation states, as we have seen, for example, in the last 90 years in Turkey, when the Turkish nation state was built for the European capitalist interest. So through nationalism, through religiousness, through sexism, society was opposed to act according to the benefits of a society, a state. The Kurds were the one next to the Armenians, others who fought always against this opposing structures. And then Öcalan said, we start to change ourselves, our mentality in our society, when we are looking for liberties, for democracy, for equality. So then we look, we should take the mirror and look in our own society, how much we are affected by capitalist modernity. And the result was, well, we are a male-dominated society, which is actually based on the paradigm of patriarchy, which is the father of capitalism. So he said there's a need, we should go more deeper in the problem. And in this, he was discovering in the freedom of women, the struggle for freedom of women as the main dynamic of overcoming the hidden form of patriarchy in each field of life, whether in politics, in art, in culture, in music, in literature, wherever you look, or even how historical books are written, even how histories has been understood, or how we are taught in history in the schools. In all this kind of, in this old field of life, he said there's need to look, to go further and look where, how we are affected by this paradigm, which make one the first class, the other second class, bringing hierarchies in the societies. And so in this, he said, the one who have been excluded from capitalist modernity, which means the thought of or mentality of hegemonial, hierarchical, power-based ideology. So he said women have been excluded since 5,000 years from the system in our area, Middle East and Kurdistan particularly. So that's why the alternative is somewhere hidden in the women, in the women's traditions, cultures, thoughts, mentalities, emotions. Wherever you look, women are different in our society, less aggressive, less those who are ruling. So they have been excluded from ruling. And also historically, patriarchy starts with male domination over the mother rule society in the Kurdish history. So that's why we say there are a lot of hidden elements in the names of the Kurdish women, in the clothes. Wherever you look, you will find signals or some symbols of really ancient traditions in the Kurdish women, particularly those who are living in the mountainous areas. And there he said, there's already a ground for us to implement, practice new alternative model to patriarchy. So the struggle against capitalism, which is the Kurdish cause, started in Kurdistan with women's liberation in the 90s already. So when the Soviet Union was collapsing, we're questioning the reasons. One of the reasons is, of course, not giving up or being affected by capitalist modernity, let's say. Further after Marx, most of the leftists were thinking nation state is needed, and also as a European form of nation state, then this step of industrialization, which was very very important to the Soviet areas, industrialization without any critical stance to industrialization was built everywhere, which was destroying the nature, and nobody was taking care on nature during the time of the so-called socialist bloc. So praising industrialism as a progressive progress of humanity. So all these were the lessons for us to learn from them. And so, well, this mistake we shouldn't repeat in the Kurdish movement, because right at the beginning when the movement was founded, it called itself a socialist movement. And then with 90s, with the questioning of everything, then the conclusion was, no, we can't repeat the mistakes. We should make it different. And in these, I think the women helped Öcalan to find his direction. In the 90s is already also the time when in Kurdistan uprising starts, the so-called Sahel dance. In the Palestinian history, they're called Intifadas. In Kurdistan, they're called Sahel dance. And interestingly, most of the Sahel dance have been led by women in the 90s. Afterwards, most of the women took part in the armed struggle in the guerrilla movement in the mountains of Kurdistan. And then the challenge came for the PKK, when thousands of women went to the mountains. It was a real challenge. So they didn't know why so many women came, and they didn't know how to deal with all these women. So it was the, however, since the founding, there have been female members of the PKK. One of them was Sakine Jansız, founding member. She was assassinated in Paris in 2013. But there have been few women already in the 70s, 80s in the PKK, 90s. But through the uprisings, thousands of women went to the mountains. And it was a real challenge. So how to deal with this problem? So because they have seen the participation of women as a problem. And then the roles of the society have been repeated in the mountains. So women became the fighters and the men have been the commanders. So, and then in the parallel to this, there were ideological talks and discussions, analysis in the PKK about new form of socialism. And then Öcalan says, well, we can't have speak about socialism if we don't even have a democracy between the two genders, between men and women. If women are just fighters and men are the commanders, that can't be a character of revolutionary movement. What was happened was then dividing the army and creating free space for women by the founding of the Women's Army in 1993. So this is a key point in the history of the Kurdish movement. When we talk today about democratic confederalism or genealogy as a science of women, or the brave women who fought IS, Islamic State in North and East Syria, these all are results of this long history of the Kurdish women's movement starting in the 90s. So after the army was founded, you mustn't understand the army just as a military organization. No, it was the only place, the mountains have been the only place where men and women in the Kurdish society got the place for free education, for self-reflection. Because in the cities and villages, it wasn't possible since Kurdistan is a colony under Turkey. So you couldn't move and organize yourself so easily in the cities and in the villages. But it was possible to do this in the mountains where you have been very well protected. So in this army of women, they offered women to be teach in the history of women. So that's why we changed the terminology history to her story. So founding our own history, because in the school books, we as women are not mentioned. Even in the Holy Quran, we are not mentioned. Whenever we are mentioned, we are the second class, or we are Eve, or we are Maria. We are always the passive element in history. So that's why to make us as active contributor to history, we say her story. It's more important to say her story, because exploitation, slavery starts firstly with women in Middle East, in our region. So that's why we have to go to fight this problem in the sources, going back to the history. So see that we have been existent in history as women, as Kurdish women. And this gave the women a real high level of self-confidence, which then was step by step going to analysis and the move of guerrillas in cities and villages to the society in the 90s. And then the second key point is in 96, where then Öcalan, together with the women, are making public call to all Kurdish men saying, kill the male in yourself. So firstly, social revolution starting with changemen of women. Women became active members of the society and autonomously organized active members of the society. Wherever the women are, they have their autonomous organization and structures. So then these whole experiences went to the civilian areas, which then led to participation of women in political parties in Turkish parliament, or wherever you go in other parts of Kurdistan is the same. And 96 is the second breaking point, is the call, public call for killing the male in yourself. So and that was that led to very interesting discussions in the society in Kurdistan. The men who have been shocked, why? Who is the male in myself? So, and it was capitalism. Catch the capitalism in yourself was the real meaning. And this discussion had been led by women together with Abdullah Öcalan. And then later on, after 2 years, this experience, this talks, how to kill the male. And then the discussions with the the discussion starts, we need the women's ideology. We have an army, we have an umbrella organization which brings all the society to a diverse organized women's society or women's nation. And then afterwards, we need the ideology, and we will then find the party. So after all these, we have, after 30 years experience in Kurdistan, a very, very important women's power in the all field in life, not just in self-defense areas, in politics, in foreign affairs, in culture, in art, everywhere. And I would say this is the main character of a new experiment in Kurdistan, how to defeat capitalism. And I think this was the right way to experiment, because when in 2000, we always, as Kurdish women, we say the 21st century will be the century of free women. And we see the crisis of capitalism is mostly affecting us as women, and not just in form of wars, but the form of exploitation. Whatever you see this in different form amongst the farmers and fishers in India, in Kurdistan is happening differently. The abuse, growing rape, state-led police of rape against Kurdish women, arrestments of Kurdish women. There are thousands of Kurdish female co-mayors, mayors, and politicians, MPs in Turkey in prison. And rape became a state official policy against Kurdish women who are active in amongst the civil society. I can add many of the examples, or what Turkey is doing in the occupied part of Afrin in North and East Syria. So women are sold as slaves to the Arab countries, which Islamic State has done in 2014 with the Yazidi Kurdish women. Now Turkey is doing the same in the city of Afrin in North and East Syria, Rojava, selling Kurdish women in this occupied part and forcing them to act according to the rule of Sharia. All these women have experienced freedom in the system of democratic confederalism, which is a democracy without state, which is a democracy which rejects centralization of power and reject accumulation of power. So it's a model of decentralization, model of grassroots democracy, in which women's freedom is the key point in killing the male as the ground of patriarchy and capitalism.